The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, where we begin with breaking news. That's right. Yep. Oh, wait, get in my ear. On. Hold on.
Wait.
Hold on. No. I got it. The Patriots just intercepted Sam Darnold again. That's right. The Patriots intercepted Sam Darnold one more time.
Long way to go for that joke. I got news for you.
You know what's funny, Matthew? Thrust 1 ounce of support behind anybody other than yourself, the joke might have stuck. It might have stuck. You never know. You might get some chuckles on the internet.
Here's what's weird. Because where I thought you were going was with actual breaking news, because there is some actual breaking news.
Yeah, and we'll get to that in like 5 seconds.
I did not think that's where he was going. I thought the breaking news was going to be the poll results we had from yesterday, just trolling you again.
Ooh, Daniel, you know something? Let's pivot from my pivot to your pivot.
Yeah.
And talk about that poll
that's
result.
That's called
the
Euro step is what that's called.
Shout out NBA season starts tonight. Watch everything on ESPN. It's going to be glorious. Daniel,
Who do we play in our little basketball league?
Who do we play? We're not on the same team.
No, I know, but I'm just like, I was saying, like, who do you play?
I play Mike Schiffman, the great Mike Schiffman, who's super into fantasy basketball.
He really is.
Matthew, I don't know who you play.
Who do I play?
House would Matthew be placed in?
Oh, yeah,
Hufflepuff comes in with a resounding 43%.
I'm so pissed about this. I am so upset about this.
43% Hufflepuff, 35% Slytherin, and then Ravenclaw and Gryffindor tie for last place.
I am so Gryffindor. You guys are a bunch of animals out there.
What field be placed in?
A pox on all of you. Give me a curse.
Nope.
Or a horcrux or whatever. What's the
A horcrux?
Horcrux. There you go.
Horcrux. Or, you know.
On the lot of you. A horcrux on the lot of you. It's been a while since I've read the books. But, horcrux on the lot of you, especially on field. It's outrageous the fact that I am a Hufflepuff. I'm the most anti-Hufflepuff guy ever.
Oh, is that right?
100%.
Tell me more. Tell me more about how you're not Hufflepuff.
I'm totally not Hufflepuff.
What? You're Slytherin.
I'm closer to Slytherin than I am Hufflepuff. I'll tell you that much right now.
What was the poll result for me again, Daniel?
You were 35% Gryffindor.
Say it again. For those
35% Gryffindor.
35% Gryffindor.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh, baby. And only 7% Slytherin.
Yeah.
Like that. I voted the best, I avoided the worst the most frequently.
Well, here's what's weird is that if you were Slytherin, like you're the perfect person for it because that's what they all are. That was Draco Malfoy was constantly that. Like he was in public, right? He was like super nice and put together and sharp and like just like, you know, Johnny on the spot. And then it was like, you know, behind closed doors, guy was a jerk. Right? Guy was
now you're calling me a jerk.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm just saying if the shoe fits. Look, all I know is this. I've never been more pissed at the 0601 audience than I am with the poll results of this one for both me and Felix.
I'm going to say this
really
quickly.
I've never been more pissed in my life.
Really quickly, Matthew Berry. I think that you are Severus Snape. I think on the outside you play a bad guy. I think that there are a lot of people that maybe don't like you, but deep down inside you are actually the hero that we all needed but didn't realize we deserved.
Interesting. All right. Fair
I'm
going to
go with a no on that one as well.
Come on.
Wow. Why not? Which part do you disagree with?
The whole be nice on the inside part.
Oh, got it.
Rewind.
Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
So cool. So mean.
So the Patriots have made
I'm an insanely loyal person.
As are Hufflepuffs. That's what they're known for.
Is that what they are known
for?
No,
it's Gryffindor that's
known
for. I
was going to say, exactly. I didn't think so. Hufflepuff sucks. It's just whatever.
It's very fitting for you.
It is not.
Yes, it is.
It is absolutely not fitting for me. Yes,
Cedric Diggory was a Hufflepuff. You know, and Cedric Diggory did I mean, he was a huge character in those books.
Yeah.
Cedric Diggory do. The Patriots
played
last
I want another poll. Is Hufflepuff... what did you say? Accurate for me? What did you say? Like,
fitting.
Fitting. Is Hufflepuff a fitting house for Matthew? Just a yes or no.
Why would they vote you as most likely?
Because they're moron. You know, because they're trolling me. I'll tell you why. Exactly. Because they know it would bother me.
Bunch of Cardinals fans out there spamming the poll.
Can I tell you about that rant real quickly? And then we'll get into Sanu and the game last night and everything. So whatever. I did this rant. If you missed yesterday's show, or missed it on social, I did this rant about the Cardinals and the Cardinals, you know, Twitter handle and their social media team and the whole thing. Okay. And it got, you know, it did very well or whatever. A lot of people watched it. And I got very angry, passionate texts and I got very angry, passionate DMs and emails from Cardinals fans. I got 13.
Wait, 13 of them, huh?
13
whole
I got
DMs
13, like, you blanking clown, you.
Are your DMs open?
No, they're not.
You're psychopath, I mean,
like,
if so.
Like, there's, no.
Most important question.
No,
I have
on Instagram, like, you can go to, like, and every once in a while, I just wanted to see. And so on Instagram, like, my DMs get filled up like crazy. Do you ever go into your Instagram DMs?
You have two guesses, and the second one does not count.
Right. No.
Thank
I assume
you
don't. Right.
Yes.
So every once in a while I do, just to sort of see, and I'm actually glad I did randomly because it's such a dumb aside.
Really important question.
Yes, sir.
Were you blocked by the Cardinals on Twitter?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Huh. Actually, I don't believe I
was. That's a win. That's a win for you.
I was a little surprised about that. They can't react to me. Like, that's the smart move. They can't react to me. They should not react to me.
Oh, yeah. Finally, they learn how to run their Twitter account.
You'd think. It took them a while.
Let,
but,
let me just say that I've got some things.
But I got 13. Like, I thought, like, whatever. Like, it's like something like up to 500,000 views or something insane. And literally 13. I got 13 passionate Cardinal fans telling me, like, what an a-hole I am. And, you know, just whatever. All that, whatever.
Just wait till the rant comes on, like, Aaron Rodgers, and the next thing you know, your DMs are going crazy.
Well, sure.
Passionate
sure.
Packers fans.
Sure.
So, game last night between the Patriots and the Jets, but we start with news surrounding the Patriots as Adam Schefter broke this morning that Mohamed Sanu had been traded to the Patriots from the Falcons for a second-round pick, presumably in 2020. Mohamed Sanu, very, very capable player for the Atlanta Falcons. But two things. One, they have Julio Jones. They have Calvin Ridley. Two, they're 1-6. They're deplorable right now. Your instant reaction to Mohamed Sanu. How much value does he have in this Patriots offense?
You know what? I think he is more valuable to Tom Brady and the entire Patriots offense as a, you know, as a NFL piece than as a fantasy asset here, Field. Like, we were talking about this before the show, and you're more optimistic than I am. Like, again, like, nice trade for the Patriots. Mohamed Sanu's a good player. And just as somebody that likes Mohamed Sanu, like, great for him to potentially get a chance at a ring. But you think about Mohamed Sanu, who, when he was on the Falcons, okay, Sanu basically had a 15% target share, okay?
Okay.
And he was wide receiver 54 on a points-per-game basis so far this season.
Yep.
Now he goes to the Patriots, where Josh Gordon, among the wide receivers, has the second highest target share in games he's played in the season. He has a 16% target share.
Okay.
About what Mohamed Sanu is going to get. So, okay. By the way, and it's not like you're like, well, he's going to the Patriots. I get it, but like Matt Ryan's not a bad quarterback. Matt Ryan's a very good quarterback, and it's actually the Falcons are the past heaviest team in the NFL. The Patriots are like fourth, okay? But like, Patriots average 279 passing yards per game. Falcons average 299. Patriots are throwing 39 passes per game. That's fourth most in the NFL. Falcons throw 41 passes per game. That's most in the NFL. So it's not like it's a small downtick in terms of offensive volume that he goes to the Patriots. Now, maybe they score a little bit more, so I just don't know that he all of a sudden becomes crazy fantasy relevant, because you think about, like, Edelman's not going anywhere. He's got a 25% target share. James White has a 21% target share in the games he's played in so far this season. So I think the best case scenario you can make an argument for Mo Sanu is that he's third in terms of targets on this team. And you've still got Josh Gordon. You've still got Philip Dorsett there. And as we saw last night, the offense is muted a little bit because their defense is scoring so much because they run when they get in close.
Yeah.
And again, it's a great move for the Patriots NFL-wise. But I don't think this is an uptick in Mo Sanu's fantasy value, and I think you can make an argument there's a slight downgrade here. Again, Josh Gordon, the second best pass catcher
on
the Patriots, he's wide receiver 66 on a points per game
basis. Josh Gordon or
Josh Gordon?
Okay, so
Mohamed Sanu is wide receiver 54. Josh Gordon is wide receiver 66 on a points per game basis.
Do you think Mohamed Sanu's value goes down?
I don't think
he won't be ranked for you this week.
No, he won't be ranked for me this week.
Interesting. Okay. I see it very differently.
So go ahead.
It's a legitimate price to pay. Second round pick is not something to shake a stick at. And I get it. There was competition, which is part of the reason why Mohamed Sanu cost more than people might expect a player who's got a year and a half left on his contract. There were other teams very interested in his services. The Patriots have long admired Mohamed Sanu. They have been on his trail for quite some time. The Falcons, up until being 1-6, were not nearly as inclined to trade Mohamed Sanu because they thought they had a chance, right? And they thought he was an incredibly important part of this offense. We've talked a ton about how Mohamed Sanu is like the ultimate flex play. Like the only reason why he is constantly on the waiver wire in that flex consideration is because he's the third wide receiver in that offense. I just think the Patriots made this move with significant intent. I think it may not be right away, but by like week 10, 2 weeks from now, I expect this guy to be seen somewhere between like 7 and 8 targets a game. I really do. I think this is going to be a huge, huge addition for the Patriots.
So it's really interesting.
Like, I think he's like a borderline top 30 wide receiver for the rest of the season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I guess I just feel like Brady just spreads it around so much. You know what? Yeah, let's. So I say now that he's with the Patriots, so week 8 on, I say he's not a top 30 fantasy wide receiver.
That's why I said it's going to take a little time here. Like, I think he has a chance to become a top 30 wide receiver. I'll do it from week 10 on.
Sure. Sure. You want to give yourself two weeks?
I'll give him 2 weeks. He's got to have some runway, right? I mean,
Sure. Fine. From week 10 on, yeah. I say Mohamed Sanu is not a top 30 wide receiver.
Points per game basis, right?
They have
a bye week. So bye week in week 10, I think it is. 10. So week 11 on, you want to call that then?
Week 11 on total points. Week 11 on,
sure, yeah.
Right? I mean,
what if he gets hurt in week 12? Like, that sort of, does that render, you know what I mean? You get the point.
I don't know how the F I am a I'm not a Gryffindor and you are with this Weasling. Like, this is a Slytherin-ish, Slytherin-ish board bet as I've ever seen in my life.
Because
tell me I'm wrong. Stop for a second. Secret Scroll, tell me I'm wrong. Come on.
Tell me he's wrong.
Could he Slytherin more out of this board bet?
Here's the thing. I can see both sides of this argument.
God, don't be a fence sitter.
I'm not being a fence sitter.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Listen, don't be a Ravenclaw.
Okay. In this scenario, we should do points per game, and it should be a minimum number of 4 games.
Fine.
It's week 11 on. Week 11 on, points per game basis. I say Mohamed Sanu is outside the top 30 of wide receivers.
Week 11 on, I say Mohamed Sanu is a top 30 wide receiver in fantasy for the rest of the season.
Put
it on the board.
Good bet right there. But anyways, so, I think we just see it a little bit differently. I think the player is talented. I think the Patriots feel really confident in his abilities and his role in this offense.
We agree that the player is talented. The question is just in terms of fantasy relevancy, because the Patriots aren't trading for him to become quote-unquote fantasy relevant, right? I mean, again, they've got Josh Gordon there. They've got Philip Dorsett. They've got Jacoby Myers. They got Ben Watson, the ghost of Ben Watson, who showed up a little bit last night. Obviously, they have Edelman. They have the run game. And they have their defense. So I don't know. Tom Brady's like a rhythm guy, and even Mohsen, who's really talented, is going to take him a while to get up to speed in the offense here. You know, I don't know. It's hard to see him having significantly more value than he had in Atlanta, where, again, he was wide receiver 54 on a points-per-game basis for the pass-heaviest team in the NFL. So we will see what happens there. The other question, I just have one other question for you that's just sort of curious. Where do you see him? Because Edelman is obviously the slot guy on the Patriots, and Sanu has primarily been a slot guy for the Falcons. Do you see him moving outside in this? Do you see them going with two guys inside? Like, and going four wide? How do you see Sanu fitting into this offense?
There are times where I think we overstate the importance of being a quote-unquote slot receiver. There are some players who exclusively align in the slot. That's all they do, right? And there used to be some teams, like the Colts used to have Marvin Harrison in the exact same spot on the exact same side of the formation every single snap. He did not move. The Patriots are a chameleon. They're constantly changing. Like, there are snaps where Edelman starts lined up on the perimeter on one side of the formation and then motions all the way across the formation as part of a bunch to the other side. I think it's a little bit overstated, the idea that a guy is a slot player or he's not a slot player. I think both of them, Edelman and Sanu, have enough value to play both inside and outside. I'm not as bogged down or concerned about that.
Let's look at the Atlanta side of this trade real quickly here, Field. I think the biggest beneficiary of the Mohamed Sanu to New England is Calvin Ridley.
I would hope so, yeah. I mean, his target share has been down this season, and especially over the past 3 weeks, trending downwards, but stands to benefit that just one less mouth to feed. Now, we know the sort of the elephant in the room is that Matt Ryan could miss some time here. No certainty for week 8. But, yeah, I would think Calvin Ridley, it opens up the door for more consistency from him as a player overall.
So Mo Sanu, gives up he had a 15.4% target share in Atlanta. So 15% of the targets are now up for grabs, and so you would assume Ridley gets at least some of that. In his career, when he has gotten 6 or more targets, Calvin Ridley averages over 18 fantasy points per game, specifically 18.5. So far this year, 18.5 on a points per game basis would be the fifth best wide receiver in fantasy. I'm not saying Calvin Ridley suddenly becomes a top five fantasy wide receiver, but given how bad their defense is, if Matt Ryan doesn't miss a lot of time here, you have to be very excited if you have Calvin Ridley. This is great news for you. Other piece of it here is that Mohamed Sanu and Austin Hooper combined for over 72% of the slot fantasy point, or the slot targets, I should say, from the Atlanta Falcons. So Austin Hooper, who's already the number one tight end in fantasy, you know, should remain there for the rest of the year.
He should stay crazy busy, that much is for sure. I personally continue to think there's actually value to Atlanta in trying to trade other pieces, including Austin Hooper, who will be a free agent after this season. I get the sense, though, they will not be as inclined to do so.
It's so weird to see a team that knows they're not playing this year to trade their current assets to get, you know, value and picks for upcoming years to help rebuild. It's so weird. I just...
Bruce, you know, Bruce Allen, on, you listening, well, listen, Bruce? You know, Bruce, you there?
Well,
can
just,
you hear
I'm,
me, Bruce?
I'm just, listen, in fairness, the Redskins are close. They have a damn good culture.
They do have a good culture.
And, you know, as Bruce Allen said at his press conference, they're, you know, we're really close. So, and we're 1-1 since they made the coaching change. We beat the Dolphins by 1 point. Yeah. Because Kenyon Drake dropped a pass.
And if only you had taken the points against Stefania, she gave you the points. Yeah. And if you had taken them, you would have won that bet.
I think you had more rushing attempts than the Reds, than the 49ers last week.
Yeah, but we didn't win.
But you had more rushing attempts.
We did have more rushing attempts.
Which usually means you can win.
Which usually means we win. So obviously, look, the Redskins are close. They shouldn't be trading. But some of these other teams should certainly do that.
Just a couple of highlights from last night for the Patriots.
My 1-15 Redskins, baby. Let's go.
Couple of highlights from the Patriots last night. Tom Brady, just 12 fantasy points. James White, 7 catches for 59 yards. Some things are evolving here because of this Mohamed Sanu involvement in the offense. But there was a couple of good signs, like for as effective as Sony Michel was 2 weeks ago against the Giants without scoring, he was sort of the opposite last night, right? 19 carries for 42 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also had a catch. It went for minus 8 yards, but still it was a catch. This night should be reading like this. 19 carries for 42 yards and 3 touchdowns, plus 2 catches for 6 yards and a touchdown. He had a 14-yard touchdown pass that went right through the wickets. It was a perfectly designed screen. 3 blockers out front, and I'm not sure there was a single player that was going to be able to tackle him, much less 3 separate opportunities, and he just dropped it. So Sony Michel, here's what I would say. Signs of life, he got the goal line work last night. That was good.
Yep.
Second of all, that involvement in the passing game at or near the goal line, like a couple encouraging signs there. He is what he is, right? He is a touchdown prone slash dependent.
He's a touchdown dependent RB2.
Yep. I feel
is what he is. But look, he's going to get, more often than not, he's going to be the guy they go with at the goal line. Look, I know Brandon Bolden and Tom Brady snuck a couple last week, but generally speaking, more often than not, Sony Michel is going to be the guy when they get in close and they give it to a running back. And so, and this is a team that's going to be in scoring position quite a bit. Look, he's now caught a pass in 3 straight games.
Yep.
That's a first for his career, right? He now has 12 straight games, including the playoffs, in which he has not gone back-to-back games without a touchdown. So, you know,
he's
going to find the end zone, you know, sooner rather than later. And so, yeah, I mean, Sony Michel is a touchdown-dependent RB2, but, you know, there are worse guys out there to have. Only concern is, in case you tune this game out late, it seemed like he got banged up at the very end of the game.
Don't know. Yes, he did. He did get banged up, and part of the reason why Damian Harris was able to come in, their second-round pick out of Alabama, third-round pick, was because of the Michel injury. Now, when they were up 33-0, they probably exercised extreme caution, so don't know for sure whether, if that game had been competitive, he would have re-entered. We'll monitor that one going into practice Wednesday. The Patriots play the Browns this Sunday. But I think the story...
But just something to sort, as you head into waivers and you had Sony Michel...
Maybe keep an eye on Damian Harris.
Yeah, maybe try to grab Damian Harris.
Or Rex Burkhead.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So just something sort of to, you know, kind of keep your mind on. It's a little weird that Sony Michel was even out there at 33-0.
Well, the Patriots, loss between them and the Jets, right? And
right.
The offense stunk last night. That was why they were out there. So let's keep grinding out some yards and build some confidence. So, but the offense is what it is, right? So far. Or was what it was last night, I should say. The story, though, is the defense again, Matthew. And what we like to do on these shows...
I have a question for you. I have one question before we get to the defense.
Okay.
Which is Tom Brady. So Tom Brady gets... In a game in which the Patriots waxed him, absolutely waxed him, right?
Yeah.
And, they get the ball... Tom Brady, 249 points, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. He had 12 fantasy points. In a game in which the Patriots killed them. And so, Mike, listen, some of that's obviously the rushing touchdowns that, you know, if he runs one in himself, you know, dives over, or, you know, it's a cheap pass to whatever, Edelman or something like that. You know, it's a bubble screen that he walks in. It looks a little bit different. But he doesn't have more than one touchdown pass in three of his last four. Now, 2 weeks ago, again, he had the two rushing touchdowns, so you don't care. But is the Patriots' dominance, and they're specifically their defense, is that hurting the fantasy value of Tom Brady and some of these offensive players?
Maybe because, a little bit, yeah. The opportunities aren't necessarily needed as they were in previous years. But I think that actually is a recent... So, I have Brady as a starter in a league, and I feel fine with it. Like, sure. Quarterback depth, we talk about how great it is going into the season. It's not that it wasn't great or that it isn't solid, but with injuries and some of the players that we thought could be more reliable not actually being as reliable.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for example, like Philip Rivers got to be a starter, right? No. Mitch Trubisky, he could be a starter, right? No. Like,
dude, Carson Wentz and Baker Mayfield went top six in every draft this year at the quarterback position.
Right, which brings you back to the...
And both have been, you know, Baker's been brutal and Wentz has been inconsistent.
And they get the Patriots and the Bills this weekend, those two quarterbacks do.
Correct.
So I still think where Tom Brady nets out is like a fringe QB1.
I agree.
Who, when the games get more difficult because of the opponents they're facing, sees his value rise up.
Here's his upcoming schedule just to that point. So they you mentioned Cleveland. They play Cleveland this week. They're at Baltimore.
Tougher.
Then they have a bye.
Yep.
At Philly.
Mm-hmm.
Home to Dallas.
Yeah.
At Houston. Then Kansas City, at Cincinnati, Buffalo, and home to Miami. So to your point, a lot of teams that should not be as inept as the Jets were last night.
So I agree with that. So that sort of brings us back.
I just wanted to bring it up to the point.
Other side of the coin, though, is the defense will face those teams as well.
Yeah.
And we like to give you action. Like, typically what we're trying to do is, like, here's what we saw in the game. Here's what it means going forward. But sometimes we just have to be, we have to be left in awe. And the Patriots defense has left us in awe, Matthew. That's where we're at with them.
Yeah.
This Patriots defense last night, the Jets wanted to score a touchdown. The Jets wanted to move the football a little bit, I think, right? The Patriots defense is suffocating. They now have 18 interceptions this year. 18 interceptions through seven games.
Is that a lot? Because that seems like a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I believe they're second in sacks right now in the NFL.
Yeah.
They actually could have had a touchdown last night. Kyle Van Noy appeared to score a touchdown. It was eventually ruled that he was ruled down after a strip sack. The Patriots defense is as dominant through seven games as any that we have seen in quite some time. And I get it. I hear the competition. I hear you on the competition, people.
Whatever.
For fantasy football,
here's the thing.
Crushing it.
They're crushing it like a grape, and they are doing exactly what a dominant defense should do against subpar competition. Absolutely destroying them. So, you tweeted this out last night, 144 fantasy points on the season for the Patriots defense. If they were a quarterback and they had 144 fantasy points, they'd be the sixth best quarterback in fantasy.
Yep.
They'd be the fourth best running back. They'd be the third best wide receiver. They'd be the number one tight end in fantasy. That's what the New England Patriots have been able to do so far this year. And, Phil, this is something I tweeted out. Given their production and where you got them in drafts this year, the New England Patriots defense and special teams is the fantasy football MVP, and it's not particularly close.
Not even close, Matthew. So
I mean, like, they were drafted. They were drafted behind guys like Dante Pettis, Trey Burton, Nyheim Hines. They were drafted 136th overall. They were drafted as the ninth defense off the board. So again, you get the Patriots in the 14th round, and you're getting the same, you're getting top six quarterback production. You're getting top five wide receiver or running back production. Like, it's unbelievable. They are the fantasy football MVPs, and it's not particularly close.
I just did some math here just because I wanted to provide some context. Because for the people that say,
I'm a show off.
But people that come out and say, you know, whatever, how about the schedule? Tell me when they play somebody legitimate. Okay, maybe the Patriots, maybe it will end up being not nearly, maybe the defense will regress. I'm sure it will when they start to play better.
A little bit, sure.
But let me ask you this, Matthew. If I told you this schedule, ready for it? If I told you this schedule, the Jets, the Giants, the Bengals, facing the Patriots, the Titans, and the Dolphins, any of those scare you? Any of those?
No, not one of those teams scares me.
So the Bills, those are their six games so far this season.
Right.
They have 56 fantasy points in six games. The Patriots have played one more game with, an equally poor schedule, right?
Sure.
They've got 144 nearly 90 point difference in one extra game. So,
and the Bills, by the way, the Bills were
They're an awesome defense.
They're an awesome defense that I believe, I don't know what their ADP was, but I would say it was defense 3, 4, 5 somewhere in there. I would believe they were drafted as a top 5 fantasy defense.
They
so
might
far
be
this
the
year.
Only other defense in the NFL this year that has scored at least 5 fantasy points in every game.
Yeah.
And again, I hear you on the schedule. It's going to get more difficult for the Patriots. But so far, as Matthew has said brilliantly, they are the fantasy football MVP.
Okay, so here's the thing. So as great as the Dolphins, you know, for every action, there is a reaction, right? The cause and so if the Patriots defense is dominant, which they were last night, the Patriots if the Patriots defense is dominant, as they were last night, that means players suffered. Sam Darnold, -6 points for Sam Darnold.
Well, we're going to talk about Sam in just one second.
You want to do the live read first?
Because
I was doing one of those. I was doing a good segue.
I understand from one Hufflepuff to another, you and Sam Darnold.
Well, neither of us are
just
Hufflepuff.
Two arbitrary points.
Okay, before you get there, how's the poll going there, Thirsty Kyle?
Not going great for you, Matthew.
Is it not?
Right now, your poll, I believe, is not doing well, as evidenced by, it's such a Hufflepuff thing to get waxed on that board bet like you did by Field. I'm just going to say that now.
What board bet did I get waxed on?
The one where you said Mohamed Sanu is not going to be a top 30 wide receiver.
Yeah, it's been a tough morning for Matthew.
Right now, 68% say Matthew belongs in the Hufflepuff house.
I hate all of you.
Every single one of you. I love all of you. You're amazing.
32% of you guys are cool. 68% of you guys are a bunch of...
Say it. Go ahead.
Read between the lines. I'm not a Hufflepuff.
Wow.
That's right.
Fantasy Focus Football is sponsored by ADT. What does real protection mean for our listeners, the great listeners who vote wisely? You can get all the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring from the most trusted name in home security. You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you and your family. You get 18,000 employees safeguarding them with connection to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT app, or the sound of your voice. You can get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You also get a system custom designed to fit to your home. You can get safety on the go, in the car, or when your kids are at school, with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. There is nothing more important than protecting you and your loved ones. It's even more important than winning in fantasy football. Our friends at ADT help make that possible. Shout out to you, ADT. Now, Matthew, we continue to segue to your awful, pathetic I'm so mad we didn't make that board bet for Kirk Cousins, Sam Darnold last night. I should have given you the extra game. I should have said, hey, from Kirk Cousins week 8 on, plus Sam Darnold week 7 on, you get Sam Darnold. And I would have a 7-point lead on you.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have done that because I'm not a moron. Like, that's why
you've
I made that
just
bet. You've
done negative points?
I didn't want him against the Patriots. Like, that's why we made the bet the way we did. Like, who wanted him against the Patriots?
Who's, who's a weasel now with board bets, huh? Jeez.
Well, because what he's saying is he would have given, even if he got 4 points, it would have been more. Well, I just want to explain it as a Hufflepuff. I wasn't sure if you understood it or not.
I hate every single one of
you. You're so mad.
I might just leave.
Okay, good.
I just literally might leave.
Are you available, Daniel, for the rest of the show? Are you around?
No, I'm sorry. I went online to vote. I had to vote.
You had to go vote?
I voted. I just wanted to vote. Yeah.
Can you vote more than once or no?
I don't know.
Yep. Matthew, update, 66%. There you go. Yeah. Good job. Your vote matters, my friend.
I'm going to make sure I go back and vote right now, too.
You jerk. I hate everything about everyone.
All right
look, and I certainly hate Sam Darnold's performance last night, where he had -6.7
points.
Good news,
guys. We're at 68%.
There you go. So Sam Darnold last night, -6.7 fantasy points.
Hold on. I'm logging into my burner account to vote on that one, too.
Okay, perfect. Please do. Thank you.
It's at AZ Cardinals, for those of you that are wondering.
That was pretty good. Yeah, that one was pretty good. I'm trying to do a Sam Darnold video for the team here, and like Field keeps interrupting me, but I got to admit,
how's
that
it feel?
Was pretty good.
This is what it's like. This is like a role reversal for the normal show right now. Yeah.
I hate everything about everyone. You know what? So I'm going to tell you guys real quickly. So this is my last show of the week.
Wait,
I'm done with all you guys.
Season?
This
That's
is my,
true.
It might be for the season. We'll see if I decide to come back. But no, it is. So As long as we've stopped, I'm gonna just talk about this.
Sorry.
I am taking my daughter's birthday is Friday. They turn 8.
Aww.
And so for their birthday, they asked instead of a party if we could take them to Disney World. And so my wife and I
are amazing.
Yeah. And so listen, honestly, I love Disney World, so I'm doing that. And so you know. Thank you. Jokes aside, Field Yates is going to take over the fantasy show on ESPN Plus towards the end of the week.
Very much looking forward to that.
Mike Clay has graciously agreed to fill in for me on Friday on the podcast as well. So I'm very excited about that. And ESPN very graciously letting me do this as well during the week. In exchange for that, I am helping giving back as well. So if you are in the Orlando area this Thursday night, October 24th, I will be at the ESPN Club on the boardwalk there at the, you know, in the complex. So the Disney boardwalk, there's an ESPN Club there, and I'm going to be doing an appearance at 6:30 PM that night. So Thursday night, and then Redskins Vikings are that night. So anyway, the ESPN Club, they do a great job.
Do you have to watch that game?
Huh? Personally, I do. Yes.
Okay.
For like a half. I don't know. We'll see. I'll hang out, take pictures, whatever. But anyway, so opening if you're in drive. The Orlando area, if you're at Disney this week or whatever, come on by and say hi at the ESPN Club there Thursday, October 24th, 6:30 p.m. I'm going to do a Week 8 Q&A, and we'll have fun. We'll hang out. We'll take pictures, whatever
people
want.
All right, so let's go really quickly through the Jets.
So anyway, I'm so happy that I am done with this show for the rest of the week after this.
Let me just say, here's what I'll say. The Jets, for real. Throwaway game last night. Just awful. I mean, talked about this 17 times. The Jets schedule lightens up in a significant way after week 8. They play the Jacksonville Jaguars next week.
But then, at Miami, the Giants, at Washington, home to Oakland, at Cincinnati, Miami again. It's why I still think that, and I think he'll be fine at Jacksonville this week. But I think, you know, it's why we made the board bet. Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins are our two top options. If you need a Patrick Mahomes replacement, we both agree Kirk Cousins over Sam Darnold for this week. We have some disagreement about rest of the season. We'll get into that in a minute with your free agent finds. But just one point here. The great Tristan H. Cockcroft, who is a master with all the historical data around fantasy football, notes that Sam Darnold is the 10th player to score negative 6 or fewer fantasy points this century. I can't tell you how many screenshots I got last night, hashtag fantasy life, of people that were up like 4 points with Darnold and then lost their matchup. Or they, I mean, like, you know, that.
That's pretty remarkable. I'm surprised by that, though. Snatching. You really did?
Oh, I absolutely got. I got so many screenshots of
people. Must
have
been people
that,
in two quarterback leagues or OP leagues?
Yeah, exactly.
Who was starting Sam Darnold against the Patriots?
People that follow me, I guess. There you go.
I'm impressed.
Well, just whatever. I mean, like, whatever. A lot of people that play fantasy follow me, obviously, and so
sure. No,
I got a ton of
ill-fated decision right there.
Right, ill-fated decision there. Exactly. So it mixed in between like the 13 angry Cardinals fans.
Right. They were.
It was
big
the
mad.
Lamest display of like enthusiasm. I thought I was just like, well, you know what? Like I'm really going harsh at the Cardinals here, but boy, they're going to come at me really hard, which I get. It was like 13 people. Like, come on, Cardinals fans! Like you control me a little bit better than that. Like, I got 13.
13. That's pretty impressive right there. Let's get on to some news. Matthew, Will Fuller is expected to miss several weeks per report. It's a hamstring injury, which brings us to Kenny Stills, a player you think has some value this week on the waiver wire.
You know what? I really do. So since Will Fuller, since the beginning of 2018, Will Fuller averaging over 14 air yards per target, right? Since the beginning of 2018, Kenny Stills averaging 15.4 air yards per target. Look, Stills played 93% of the snaps last week, and look, Deshaun Watson, the second highest deep completion percentage since the beginning of last year. Like, these are just numbers that tell you what you know. Kenny Stills and Will Fuller are both deep threats on a team that likes to throw it deep. And so and a quarterback that is very accurate and good when he throws it deep. And so, yeah, look, we've seen Will Fuller have tremendous fantasy success, you know, at various stashes. And so with Will Fuller out, I know people are going to quote the Kiki Cutie numbers from last year, small sample size, where when Will Fuller out, he sort of took a step up. But I think Kenny Stills is a better wide receiver.
The Kiki Cutie? Yeah, I agree.
Very different
players, obviously.
Obviously very different players. But just in terms of how that offense seems to be set up, and if you were picking a Texans wide receiver that's not named DeAndre Hopkins, I prefer Kenny Stills to Kiki Cutie on the waiver wire this week.
I see it the same way, Matthew. We have other injury news to get to, but first a word from TD Ameritrade, our friends.
Absolutely, Field. And you know that fantasy football feeling when the excitement for a new week builds?
Yes, I'm there.
Right? You know, like you've shaken off, like, you know, like a bad result. You know, your quarterback got minus six, or I don't know, some online stupid poll said you were a Hufflepuff. You sort of shake all that off. And the excitement for a new week starts to build. You flex your analytical skills by poring over stats, studying charts, and trying to spot trends. Well, what if I told you, Field, that you could use those same skills to invest and feel that same sense of anticipation every day? Well, TD Ameritrade thinks you can. That's because a lot of these same analytical skills you use to set your lineup can help you build a portfolio. Not to mention TD Ameritrade has all the education and investing tools you need to feel confident when you take the trading floor. There's paper money, so you can practice trading risk-free. We love that. Charting to help you spot trends in the market, and they'll even create an investing training plan that's unique to you and your needs, Field, complete with exclusive videos, webcasts, and courses. Just visit tdameritrade.com/fantasy to learn more. Once again, that is tdameritrade.com/fantasy to get started. Member SIPC. So, listen, Field, Kerryon Johnson expected to miss some time as well for Daniel's Detroit Lions, which brings us to the free agent finds and your waiver wire ads, Field Yates. You write the column, Free Agent Finds. It's available on ESPN.com right now. I, of course, am a company man.
We begin with Ty Johnson of the Detroit Lions. I will say this right now. This is the player that I want to add most from this Detroit Lions backfield. But
the number one waiver claim, that's who you're grabbing.
Assuming you don't need a quarterback, then my answer will be yes. Because if you need a quarterback, sure, I think there's better value in players to talk about in just a little bit. But Ty Johnson, sixth-round pick out of Maryland, guy who they have been excited about during the offseason and into the preseason and a little bit during the regular season as well. Only issue here is that it wouldn't surprise me if they add another running back at some point this week if Kerryon Johnson is going to, in fact, miss the game on Sunday, which we think will be the case. They have Perkins in the practice squad.
Yep.
They have J.D. McKissic, who's getting some run as well. Guys actually play pretty well for them.
And remember, by the way, J.D. McKissic played in Seattle with Daryl Bevel, their offensive coordinator. Familiarity there. I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing McKissic get some run here. I always kind of like McKissic.
Me too. Shifty player, but I'm not sure he's a workhorse.
I agree, he's not.
Why would they
bring back C.J. Anderson?
Correct. That's a thought I have right now. They have worked out several power backs of late. They had Anderson on their roster. They ended up cutting him. They actually worked out Jeremy Hill late last week.
Yeah, hey,
remember Jeremy Hill, friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast, Jeremy Hill. We love Jeremy.
How players sort of fade into obscurity after an injury, but like, I don't know. Just saying, like, there's stranger things have happened than somebody getting signed.
Jeremy Hill's still young. I want to say he's 28,
this would
maybe
be his sixth season in the NFL if he plays. So he's got to be somewhere 27, 28.
Yeah. So off the top of my head, my guess is Jeremy Hill's 28, 27, 28. And obviously, he tore the ACL last year in the preseason.
Yep.
But
he was playing well for the Patriots.
He was playing well. He looked great in the preseason before he got hurt. So again, now he's a year and something removed from that ACL. Like,
plus, the trade deadline is obviously 1 week from today, so we keep an eye on whether the Lions add somebody. But for now, Ty Johnson is the name I like most in that Detroit backfield.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to be a little bit more of a running back by committee than it was with Kerryon Johnson there. But I agree with you. Ty Johnson, deeper PPR league, should look at J.D. McKissic as well. And we'll obviously see if they add anyone via trade or signing. Fantasy Trends is brought to you by TD Ameritrade, Field. And if you have lost Patrick Mahomes, if you're nervous about Matt Ryan, which we certainly get, if you have Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott on a bye this week, if you need a quarterback,
Kirk Cousins is your man. Kirk Cousins, quarterback two over the last 3 weeks, 10 touchdowns, nearly 1,000 passing yards. Minnesota is the top scoring offense in those three games. And oh, by the way, on Thursday night, he plays the deplorable, just borderline embarrassing to watch, makes you want to burn your eyes type
semi-pro
of offense.
Semi-pro.
Semi-pro? Yeah, it's probably accurately describing it, right? Yes, the bad, not so great, terrible Washington Redskins on Thursday night. Revenge game. You expect Kirk Cousins to have a nice, huge night, despite the fact that Adam Thielen may not be available.
Skull! Did I do that one right?
That's right.
Did I do that one right? Skull? Did I do it right? Yeah,
that was pretty good.
Sure, that was close enough.
Should we keep it moving here, Matthew?
You're a divisional opponent.
I am. I mean, it is Skull.
Goal.
That is accurate.
That's what I'm going to say. I've been very clear about this. I want the Redskins to go 1-15, so that the embarrassment is so great that Dan Snyder at least considers firing Bruce Allen.
I think they're on their way to 1-7 at least on Thursday night, so I guess there is a silver lining there. Let's keep it moving, Matthew. I'll go to running backs, and you can just earmuff it for a second.
Yes, okay.
Chase Edmonds for the Arizona Cardinals. As we know, he was a monster this past Sunday. 3 touchdowns. We do not know whether or not David Johnson will be available this upcoming Sunday, but you have to add Chase Edmonds in the event that David Johnson missed more time. Now, it's not a great matchup against the New Orleans Saints, who have been awesome against the defense, against opposing running backs over the past handful of weeks. And the schedule gets even worse after that. San Francisco on a short week at Tampa Bay, quietly one of the best run defenses in football, and then at San Francisco again. That being said, volume plus skill equals fantasy value. Edmonds has some value there.
I think he's going to be Austin Eckler, even if David Johnson is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You think about that Cardinals offense, and look, rants aside, look, the rant was not about Chase Edmonds. The rant was about their Twitter handle trolling us for believing their own lie.
Right.
Like, it's like, you guys lied to us. Okay, fair enough. We bought it, is what it is. That's gamesmanship. But then to troll us? Right, you know, to troll us for believing you that David Johnson was going to play, then that's what the rant was about. But all right.
One more running back here.
Chase Edmonds, I don't know how Chase Edmonds wasn't 100% rostered prior to this, because everyone had David Johnson. Given his injury history, how would you not have Chase Edmonds? Chase Edmonds is rostered in every – I'm in 16 leagues, and he's rostered and has been rostered for some time in every league. I only have him in a handful of leagues. So I'm surprised he's still out there, but I'm 100% with you. Like, Chase Edmonds needs to be rostered. Honestly, I think I might add him over Ty Johnson if I didn't need to necessarily start. Like, the upside for Chase Edmonds is so much more than it is for Ty Johnson. Yeah.
No issue there. Mark Walton for the Dolphins is quietly seeing his role increase down there for Miami. Now, I get it. You don't want to put too much faith behind the Dolphins' offense. It's not good. But Mark Walton may actually become the starter for this team if Kenyon Drake is traded, and there's been all sorts of speculation that Drake could be traded by next Tuesday afternoon. I wonder, maybe the Dolphins call up the Lions and say, hey, he may not be perfect, but he's better than what you have currently healthy and available. Might be a reasonable trade partner, of course.
100%.
Matt Patricia, Lions head coach. Dolphins head coach Brian Flores, who succeeded Matt Patricia as the Patriots' defensive coordinator. There is some familiarity, and you would think some easy dialogue there. We're going to come back and talk about the wide receivers and some names you need to know there, and also maybe have even a defense. But first, a quick break. We keep it rocking and rolling here on the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast with a guest.
We do. We have a guest in studio, which is exciting. Like, as you listen to the show, you know that I'm good friends with the NFLPA, the Players Association of the National Football League, and they've been so gracious to me over the years. You know, every year they invite me out to their rookie premiere. I get great content and interviews there, and so we've done various things together, the NFLPA and I, and so one of my friends at the NFLPA, Steve Scablo, who's a vice president with them, is here in studio, and he's here not on any official business. This is a boondoggle for Steve Scablo. Unofficial business. He is in Connecticut. He is visiting family and decided to come by and stop into the 06010. And that's how we met, actually, because you're a fan of the show for a long time, right?
I'm a big fan. I actually read your book before you offered it to me.
Ha! There you go.
Did he sign it?
I paid cash money for it.
Did he sign it?
He did. He did.
Oh.
See, look at that.
So magnanimous of you. I'm
impressed. Right, exactly. The kind of thing a Gryffindor would do. Am I right, Steve?
No Hufflepuff has ever signed a book for anyone.
Is that why I still don't have a signed copy of Matthew Berry's New York Times bestseller?
It makes so much more sense, doesn't it?
There you go, Daniel. You finally figured that out. Steve, are you so obviously, you know, the Players Association obviously is focused on players. Are you allowed to have an NFL team? Like, who's your NFL team?
Well, I like to say it used to be the New York Giants until a certain general manager traded Odell Beckham Jr., and I don't see how you can have a talent like that be shipped off to another team.
It's a very reasonable point.
Very,
you know,
very
Steve,
unreasonable point.
I don't know if you know this, Steve, but there is a team that's got plenty of room available on the bandwagon. The Redskins.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can take my spot.
A hard pass.
Yeah, that's a hard pass there. Steve works in Washington, D.C. He is very familiar.
I'm aware of the...
the Redskins. He's very aware of the Redskins.
I'm going to move on.
How long have you been playing fantasy, Steve? How many leagues are you in?
10 years. Two leagues.
Two leagues.
Yeah.
Now, is it... Because I know, like, everyone I've ever met at the NFLPA, you guys all play fantasy. Yep. You guys are all into it, obviously. Fantasy is great for the players because it allows fans to get to know, you know.
Connect, like,
we just talked about very briefly Nyheim Hines and we talked about Ty Johnson. I assure you, NFL Live is not going to talk about Ty Johnson or Nyheim Hines or, you know, Gardner Minshew or what, you know what I mean? Like, fantasy is where, coming up, one of the people we're going to mention is Dallas Goedert.
Right.
I assure you, Dallas Goedert's not getting mentioned on any other ESPN platform today except in fantasy. And so fantasy is so great for recognition of players. Is there an NFLPA league?
There is. I am not a member this year, but they actually do two brackets, 12 teams in each bracket. And
did you get relegated? Tell me you didn't get relegated.
Well, we didn't do so well last year. I co-owned a team with a coworker, and she said it was too much pressure, so we bowed out this year.
Fair enough. It's a reasonable take on things.
That's also very
sometimes
reasonable.
You have to quit.
Steve, do you have a question for either Field or myself?
Oh gosh,
anything you want.
I'm going to a fantasy question. How much of your fab budget would you spend to get Chase Edmonds after you cut him last week?
Oh
man.
Probably all of it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I would feel so much shame and I would feel so terrible. Why would you cut Chase Edmonds, my friend? Why would you do that after you knew David Johnson was banged up.
I knew he was going to play. See,
right.
I don't want to set you off on a rant.
Right.
But I knew that David Johnson was going to play. So I said, I don't really need Chase Edmonds. So I cut him. Looking ahead, I picked up Benny Snell.
Right.
Move.
Right. Understand. Mm. Probably got a little too cute there. Because, right, understood, James Conner's been banged up and Jalen Samuels is out for a while. So Benny Snell has the Dolphins this week on Monday Night Football, exclusively on ESPN, by the way. Exclusively.
Looking forward to that. But I think I'll probably spend like 40% minimum.
Okay.
I mean...
I'll push. Do you have
David Johnson on your team?
I don't, but I have Kerryon Johnson on my team, so it'd be nice to have another running back.
So, yeah, that's interesting, because whoever has David Johnson in your league is probably going to spend a decent amount of money, you know, to trying to get Chase Edmonds back. So you have Kerryon Johnson, so you need a running back. I think Chase Edmonds is going, even if David Johnson plays, like, you know, Christian Kirk's been banged up. No other pass catcher outside of him or Fitz have really kind of emerged. I feel like Chase Edmonds becomes their Austin Eckler. And, you know,
I hope. You know what I mean?
Like,
you'd
I think
hope.
He's,
yeah.
I don't know how Chase Edmonds goes back to the bench in just a backup role to David Johnson after his performance against the Giants.
I agree on that. I think 40% minimum is about a reasonable floor to be spending on Chase Edmonds and just hope for the best. You deserve him back. Karma will bring him right back to your roster.
Let's hope.
Steve, thank you so much.
Thank you,
as
Steve,
always,
appreciate
the
your
NFLPA
support.
Has been such a great supporter of fantasy football and me specifically. So, and I know you have a lot to do with that. So thank you very much to you and to the NFLPA.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me here.
There you go. All right. So that is our friend from the NFLPA.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some NFL players right now.
Let's do it. Yeah.
At the wide receiver position, if you have a need, who are you looking for, and where would Mohamed Sanu rank for you among pass catchers?
Yeah, he'd be my top ad over the players that I'm going to mention right now amongst wide receivers. And the next one up, we've already talked about Kenny Stills, by the way, but Corey Davis for the Tennessee Titans,
yep,
who is available in about 56% of leagues, and he looked far more effective because his quarterback was far more effective in Week 7. Ryan Tannehill certainly brought some life to that Titans offense. He'll remain the starter, at least for now, going forward, and... we've said this many times, the talent is there. It's just about consistency and opportunity. They had the fourth most yards per play in Week 7 after ranking 29th Weeks 1 through 6. So small sample size, but some encouraging signs.
Incredibly encouraging signs. Honestly, Corey Davis, for me, just, you know, this is your column and your segment, but for whatever it's worth, I have Corey Davis. I would prefer Corey Davis to Mohamed Sanu or Kenny Stills. Corey Davis, if he were available in my league, he would be my number one pickup. Let's move on now to the tight end position, and I just sort of spoiled the name right there, but you're digging what you're seeing out of Dallas Goedert.
Dallas Goedert, again, there are so few tight ends that you can count on. And if you just go off last week, you could have Kyle Rudolph on this list. You could have Eric Ebron on this list. But you know what those guys have done up to last week?
Nothing.
Nothing whatsoever. Back-to-back games, though, for Dallas Goedert, who has been effective for the Eagles as a blocker. We haven't seen much in terms of the passing game, but I think it's just clear. You watch it from the eye test. This is a guy that pops in a way that I'm not sure other tight ends are popping right now. So if you are desperate, if you have been using Mark Andrews or maybe even Jason Witten so far as your tight end. This would be a name to turn to, but I always encourage people to just sort of tread lightly with expectations for tight ends. It's a disaster position for a reason. It's really hard to find consistent players.
So defensively, by the way, a lot of people drop the Carolina Panthers. They're out there in over 50% of leagues. I love the Carolina
Seriously?
Panthers.
Seriously?
Yes.
That's one of those that I just wish I had known that, because I would not have thought that the number two scoring defense should even be checked upon. But obviously it would be a top ad.
Keep me honest, Thirsty Kyle, but check that right now. What are the roster ship percentages of both the Carolina Panthers and the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because yesterday I was shocked that both were available in over 50% of leagues. Of course, the Steelers play the Dolphins on Monday night exclusively on ESPN. I'm a company man, Thirsty. What are you going to say?
Oh, wow. Wow. It's not like we haven't worked together for 6 years.
Whatever.
It's
I'm distracted because you're over there doing something. I don't know. You're handing your business card to Steve.
I'm trying to find out what your Panthers roster percentage is.
Thirsty Kyle's on it.
51% available.
25 years to do anything. Oh, my gosh.
All right. Whatever.
Panthers are available in 51% of leagues. The Steelers are available in 65% of leagues. So those are two names to consider. I would also add the Indianapolis
Both of them are top five fantasy defenses throughout this year, and they may have been dropped because they were on buys, but both have great matchups coming up this week. If both those teams are gone in your league, you have another option.
Yeah, the Colts, who are available in over 80% of leagues. Look at their next four games. The Broncos at home doesn't scare you. The
nope.
Steelers on the road also doesn't scare you. Miami at home does not scare you. Jacksonville at home, a defense and offense that has been good at times this year, but none of those are like, okay, I am sitting them. They just did a great job against Deshaun Watson and the Texans offense.
And
you have to feel good about this team.
Yeah, they're getting healthier, which is exciting. And then you think about that schedule, as you mentioned. Joe Flacco, Mason Rudolph, Fitzmagic or Josh Rosen.
Insert Dolphins quarterback here.
Yeah. And Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. So I think the Colts defense, which maybe from a splash play standpoint is not as talented as the Panthers or the Steelers. Those are two great recommendations as well. But the Colts, another defense to consider if you are looking to fill a spot this week.
I think that's a great suggestion there, Field. I'd like to, if you don't mind right now, I'd like to start a new segment that I hope will continue here on the Fantasy Focus 0610 podcast.
Okay.
Which is, I like to call, the Arizona Cardinals Twitter handle gives fantasy advice. So, as you know, last week their advice on Monday was, should have started Chase Edmonds.
Okay.
So, if you're looking for a defense, you should pick up the New England Patriots defense. This has been fantasy advice presented by the Arizona Cardinals Twitter handle. There you go. You should have started them last week. You should have started them last night against the Jets. But going forward, you should pick up the Patriots defense. Again, that is fantasy advice straight from @AZCardinals.
That is
Twitter.
Actually good advice, because the Patriots are a defense one. And you know what, Matthew?
Yeah.
We talk about QB1s. We talk about RB1s. We talk about wide receiver ones. All kind of ones.
Yep.
Every show. But the true number one of my bathroom routine, Matthew Berry, is Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah, I like that. Now, Secret Scroll, I have to ask real quickly.
Yeah.
Because I sit here and I look at you and I notice you have a fairly bushy beard.
I do, yeah.
And a mustache. You have a fairly thick mustache.
Accurate.
So, but you use Dollar Shave Club.
Used it this morning.
Yeah.
Used it this morning, Matthew. Look at me. I used it this morning.
Do you understand what he's saying there, Field?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Because I might need to. I know you don't have any hair. You have no bottle. You're hairless as a human being.
Yeah.
So this is probably foreign to you, but. Got it. I was just curious. I just want to make sure we were clear on that.
Yep.
You used it this morning.
Used it this morning. Kyle's a married guy now. He knows what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Their fantasy formula is simple.
You guys are unbelievable.
Develop, craft, refine everything, and only make products that are of the highest quality. They have everything that I need for an amazing shave. And let me tell you, boy, was it amazing this morning. The Executive Razor is solid, weighty, feels good in your hand. You know what I mean? It's not some flimsy piece of plastic. I hate using a gunked up razor, shaving cream, hair, skin, who knows what all getting stuck in there. That's why I love their shave butter, specifically formulated to be lightweight. It's like a hot knife through butter. Plus, it's full of vitamins that keep your skin healthy and hydrated. I got to be honest, when I went home today, my mom was like, you did such a great job with that, Reed. I'm going to sign your dad up for Dollar Shave Club. So there, how you like that?
I'm really glad that your parents are such ardent listeners of the podcast.
Well, my mom.
Great job, Mama Dop.
Best. She's at Mama Dop on Twitter, right?
At Dop Mama.
So give her a follow. Give her the 0610, but be polite. It's Secret Squirrel's mom.
That's right.
Animals.
Don't say anything you would ever regret.
Don't don't Hufflepuff her the way you did me. You animals. Yeah, animals.
Ask yourself if Matthew would tweet it at Mama Dop, and then if the answer is yes, then just don't tweet
then it. Just
Keith,
don't tweet
time
it.
For some social
Whoa,
question.
Whoa, maybe, anymore. But we're not quite done yet, Field.
Oh.
Because as a Dollar Shave Club member, I never have to waste time going to the store, wondering if what I'm getting is any good, because I know what I'm getting is the highest quality. Dollar Shave Club isn't some sleeper, it's a keeper. They put their quality to the test. Their ultimate shave starter set has basically everything you need for an amazing shave. The executive razor, the shave better, the prep scrub, and the post-shave do comes in real handy, fellas. Let me tell you that right now.
The post, did you use the post-shave do this morning?
I used the post-shave
do. Can you guys quit it, both of you?
The best part, Field, it was soothing. Okay.
Soothing, he said. Oh, he used it this morning.
Okay, I'm glad.
This is a guy that's given an endorsement. Like
good
he
you,
like
Dean.
You know,
I'm glad
he
it
got
was soothing for you.
He got some Dollar Shave Club products and he used it. It's I think our listeners want to know.
Yeah.
That he's a satisfied customer.
Very satisfied indeed, Field Yates. The best part is
anyone else a satisfied customer that you know of?
Not
I
yet.
Am. I am.
Field is.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Cleanly shaved.
There you go. Nice. Okay.
Best part is you can try it for just $5, and after that, the restock box ships regular size products at regular prices. Get your ultimate starter set for just $5 at dollarshaveclub.com/FFF. That's dollarshaveclub.com/FFF.
Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Not cool, Keith. Let's rock.
As Field often says, hard pivot.
Yeah.
Right back to it.
Ali wants to know, after you just got over your waiver wire options, how about some guys that we can drop to make room for these guys?
So, yeah, a little welcome to Dumpsville, population U. What Smart. Do we got here, Field Yates? So,
how about some names to consider? A couple of options in mind. I would be, so Kenyon Drake, for example, yeah. Although I would tread lightly there only because he's
just
a potential
to see if
trade chip.
Right, see if he goes somewhere, yeah.
One more week. But how about Miles Sanders, Matthew, for the Philadelphia
totally
Eagles? Good with it? I'm
totally
with you there
fine
as
with it.
Well.
That offense looks out of sync.
Duke Johnson for the Houston Texans. I'd be good with that one
Whoa,
as well.
Wait, Duke Johnson's rostered in over 50% of leagues?
Yep. He's in like 78% of leagues.
That yeah. is outrageous.
Outrageous.
You can certainly, I think he's a player you can feel comfortable dropping, understanding that you know if you, you have could, Carlos Hyde, you should could, not be dropping him.
You could shave him off your team.
You could definitely do that. 60%, excuse me, for Duke Johnson, but still above 50%. How about DeSean Jackson? Still not healthy.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. How about any 49ers wide receiver?
I actually still don't mind throwing Dante Pettis at the end of my bench and see if something happens. Like, okay. Look, I mean, he's playing more and more snaps, whatever. That was a monsoon in Washington. Like, I feel like if there's a pass catcher to emerge from this 49ers offense, I feel like it'll be Dante Pettis. Having said that, I get it. It's Garoppolo's not looked great this year. It is the run-heaviest team in the NFL. Similar to the Patriots, their defense is so good, they haven't needed to throw very much so far this year. So I probably would try, depending on my wide receiver depth, but if he was like my, you know, my fifth or sixth wide receiver, yeah, I'm okay dropping him. But, you know, if I'm in a 12, 14 team league a little bit deeper, he's somebody that I might, I feel like we've got a good second half of the year coming for Dante Pettis.
All right, Keith.
The next one comes from Andy, wants to know about those run heavy 49ers. Would you rather have Matt Breida or Mark Ingram the rest of the way?
Ingram.
Yeah, Ingram for me as well, because one of them is the clear-cut leader, whereas the other one is the backup, Tevin Coleman, and they've also got other capable players, Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert.
And I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I know that since Tevin Coleman returned, I want to say Matt Breida's got something like two or three red zone touches, like not a lot. Like Tevin Coleman has, again, I'm making up a number here because I don't have that off the top of my head, but he has something to the effect of like 80%, 85%, of the red zone touches for the 49ers since he's returned. Thirsty Kyle, you can look that up. You can correct me if I'm wrong here on this one. But, yeah, I mean, this, in terms of touchdown potential, it's Mark Ingram. It's not close, I think, compared to Matt Breida. Not cool, Keith. What else you got?
Edward says that the fantasy industry was somewhat out on Aaron Rodgers entering week 7. Is he now a sell high or is he an elite option rest of season?
Can I choose C? Like, I don't
Depends.
Think he's a,
yeah, sorry, there was only two, actually, so no,
I don't think he's
but
a,
I agree I, on this one.
Yeah, I don't think he's a sell high, right? I mean, because I think he's Aaron Rodgers, you know what I mean? And, like, I don't think anyone's out there being like, oh, I want to trade for him because I think I get six touchdowns every week. So I don't think he's a sell high because I don't think it was super fluky. On the other hand, do I think he's an elite option the rest of the season? No, I think if we feel, I think if you and I were ranking quarterbacks for the rest of the year, I think Aaron Rodgers is a QB1.
Right.
But he's somewhere in that like 6 to 8 range.
What if you could pry away Deshaun Watson for Aaron Rodgers right now? Bad Deshaun Watson game, good Aaron Rodgers game. That, to me, is an example.
I would prefer Deshaun Watson to Aaron Rodgers. Like, let's go through this. Like, quarterbacks you would prefer rest of the season over Aaron Rodgers. And Mahomes, we just don't know yet, right?
Russell Wilson.
Agreed.
Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
That's about it.
Brady?
Nope. Like, everybody else is a conversation.
Everyone else is a conversation.
So, and I think the least attainable of those is probably Lamar Jackson. I don't know. It's a tie. Russell Wilson or Lamar Jackson.
I think I'd rather have Dak than Aaron Rodgers. It's
okay,
close.
But it's a conversation.
It's a conversation. It's close. But anyway, right,
Sam
everyone. Darnold? So he's Sam Darnold. Yeah, Kirk Cousins, you love him. Case Keenum, obviously. But yeah, so
Colt McCoy.
Right. He's in that QB 5 to 8 range for the rest of the season, somewhere there. It's a little bit of personal preference. I haven't studied the schedule upcoming here. So borderline elite, I guess I would say. But yeah, I mean, I think we both agree Wilson, Jackson,
Watson.
Mahomes when healthy.
Right, but we don't know.
Right, we don't know.
So okay, Keith, what else?
So there you go. By the way, just real quickly before you get to the next one, Thirsty Kyle did this quick research here. Last 3 weeks in terms of red zone carries, Tevin Coleman has 14, Matt Breida has 0. And it is
That's a trend, my friends.
15-1 in terms of red zone touches. So Breida has gotten a red zone reception, no carries in the red zone. So yeah, just for it's even more disparate than I initially thought.
Last question for me. Nick wants to know, is Carson Wentz a buy low candidate?
No.
I mean, it's hard to buy low when, first of all, he plays the Bills right now.
Their next four games are brutal.
Plus
I don't know.
Patriots,
what's their schedule?
I believe it's the Bills, the Bears, a bye week, and then the Patriots.
I think that sounds right.
Yeah.
So good luck. It's
a really difficult schedule coming up.
Now, the next four, after that, the schedule gets really easy. So if you're sitting here and you're 5-2, you know what I mean? And you're like, hey,
You probably already have a good quarterback, but if for some reason you don't, then I would consider it.
You could be 5-2 without Mahomes, and you're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Like, let me trade, buy low on Carson Wentz, stash someone. And by the way, or if we find out Matt Ryan's injury is serious, more serious than we think.
Sure.
So you could buy low on Wentz, and then you just sort of stream it for a couple of weeks, and then you've got Wentz anyway. But yes, I don't think he's a buy low, because if you need someone in the next, like in the leagues where I have Wentz, I'm searching around because I don't love starting him the next 4 weeks.
My question is, and I'll make this as quick as possible. Kyle texted me this morning and said, hey, Daniel, I came to the gym today and realized I didn't bring any pants. Can you bring me some jeans? Of which you guys understand that I wear skinny jeans to work. So I'd like Kyle to come stand here if you guys can look on your screen.
Yeah.
Does Kyle look good wearing skinny jeans, and should he just make this transition full time?
Wow. I don't even recognize you, Kyle. He looks great. Put it on the poll.
Yeah. I think Kyle looks good in skinny jeans.
I do. I do think Kyle looks good in skinny jeans. You don't like it?
Not a fan?
Well, and listen, he's off the market now.
But I have a feeling that Marisa would really like it.
I'm sure Marisa would like it.
Yeah, she would.
You know what I mean?
Really Marisa would like that. Get him some skinny jeans and a subscription to Dollar Shave Club.
Ooh.
You know what? And then she's a happily married wife.
That is the best wedding gift I could ever imagine. Matthew, we'll see you on Sunday in person, but we'll see you on Fantasy Show.
So the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus, the waiver show comes out later today, so you can check that out. Obviously, the love-hate column will come out on Thursday as well, just like normal. But then, yes, I won't be back until Sunday morning for Fantasy Football Now. But once again, if you're in the Orlando area, or even Florida, come on, make a day trip of it. Come on out, take the kids to Disney, whatever, do something. 6:30 p.m. Thursday, October 24th at the ESPN Club there on the boardwalk at the Disney facility. I don't know exactly what it's called, like the Disney boardwalk, whatever. Anyone that lives in Orlando knows what it is. Or just ask anyone if you're visiting in town. If you're visiting Disney the same time I am, just ask somebody where the ESPN Club is or the Disney boardwalk. I'll be there.
To be fair, most families only make day trips for Ravenclaws or better, but you know.
Wow.
Shots fired from Daniel Goff. We are back tomorrow with Stefania, Mike Clay, Rankings Talk, and so much more. We'll talk to you then. Get those waiver claims in.
Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib.
country fast and strong. Bordering away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.